We continue our learning of Mishmas David ben Menachem Shem Nechem Yaakov and Pinchas Eliyahu. We are on Bava Metzia, Perek Beis, Mishnah Ches. Matza Svarim. Here you have someone who finds Svarim. In those days, Svarim means scrolls written on cloth. So the concern here is that they can become moldy. If you leave them unopened for an extended period of time, they become moldy. So you want to open them up. So the Mishnah says, Kori Bohen Achas L'Shloshim Yom. The finder, the Motze, who's caring for these Svarim, taking until he finds the owner, is supposed to at least open them up once every 30 days. And the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that Kori Bohen, he's permitted to read from them. Once they're open, he's allowed to read. Maybe you'll say, well, reading will cause it. He's going to be touching it, and he's maybe pulling it a little bit. Nonetheless, once he opens it up, we allow him to read it. He should do this once every 30 days. Let's say he doesn't know how to read, doesn't know how to learn, so he still should open them. Golulon, he should roll them, meaning roll them from the beginning to the end, air them out, and this way, they hopefully then become moldy. The same thing, the Aruch HaShulchan said this is true with printed books as well. Open them up to allow air to get into them. The Mishnah is saying I can't use any of these scrolls to study something for the first time. You study something the first time, you're keeping it open for a long period of time. It's a lot more than you need to. You need to keep it open enough to air it out, but to keep it open to the extent that I'm learning something for the first time, that a person should not do. The Ramban makes the comment, and the Mimikri Yosef says that when it comes to, let's say, a Gemara, this is all when it comes to Tanakh. You learn Tanakh already, so you're familiar with the text. You open it up, you read it very quickly. That shouldn't be a problem. You're not going to pull it too much, touch it too much. But you have a Gemara, so that's something that needs a lot of study, and it's intense study. You keep it up for a long period of time, so you people study something, even if you've studied a Gemara several times. It doesn't matter. You could study 100 times, so therefore that should not be when it comes to a Gemara, that's not something that person should learn, even if he's learning it, even if it's not for the first time. He obviously should open it up, but should not be studying it. Make sure you air it out. So again, Mishnah says, "Ava lo yilmod bahem batchila v'lo yikra acherimo." Another halacha is you shouldn't have someone else read with you. You have two people holding on to a scroll, let's say a Megillah. You think about one's going to pull it one way, one's going to pull it the other way, and eventually it may be torn. And according to Rashi, when the Gemara speaks about this on Daf Chav Tes, and the Gemara qualifies this, it says we're talking about where both of the people are studying the same column of the Megillah. Since they have to sit close together, so they're going to pull it. But let's say they're studying two different columns of that Megillah, of that scroll, so then it's not a problem. They're going to sit apart. They're not going to pull the parchment, and there's no concern of it being of it tearing. However, other Rishonim, the Rif, the Rambam, Rambam Hilchos Gezela, Yud Gimel says no, just the opposite. When the Gemara means that there's a difference between reading one column versus another, it means the following. If they're both studying the same column, then that's okay, because we're not worried that they're going to pull it. They're sitting next to each other, they're studying the same column, it's not a problem. They're studying different columns, then they should not use it, having two people, because one's going to pull the parchment, either one is going to pull the parchment to his side in order for him to be able to read the column that he's studying. Then the Mishnah says, Matzaksus Minara, a person finds a garment, he has to shake it out. What are we talking about? What type of garment? So according to the Rambam, when the Gemara speaks about this on Daf Chav Tes, we're talking about woolen clothing. When you have to shake it out, the moths eat it and becomes moldy. If it's linen, though, then you should not shake it out. But Rashi understands the Gemara the opposite, that when it comes to wool clothing, that you should not shake out. They stretch out, they're going to tear. A linen clothing, you should shake out. And once again, this is because you want to take care. We spoke about it in the previous Mishnais, Vahashivo Solo, you want to return the object in the best possible way. You have to care for it. So here, Yematzaksus Minari, fine clothing, a garment, you're supposed to shake it out. Achas L'shom Shloshim Yom, shaking it out once every 30 days, that is going to be good for it. More than that is not. And less than that also is not going to, it's going to get too dusty, it's not going to air out. V'shot Chalut Tzarecha V'lo L'chvodo, you're allowed, or you should really, spread out a garment so that it also should air out and not become eaten by moss. But you shouldn't be spreading it out for your own purposes, and that means even if I'm going to benefit the garment by spreading it out. But if a person wants to spread it out so that people see, he has this fancy clothing, that's not appropriate. So spread it out in a place where it's not lichvodo, people aren't going to see it, and therefore you don't have that issue of a lichvodo. Person finds silverware, finds copper utensils, so he has to guard them properly. So you have to keep them in the ground. That's how you guard them. But you have to take them out every once in a while because they can get ruined in the ground. So yes, you're going to take them out to use them in the sense that they shouldn't stay in the ground forever. You have to take them out, but don't use them to the point where you're going to wear them out. But if you find glass kalim or gold utensils, so those, you put them in the ground and you leave them in the ground. And you can leave them for a long period of time. They're not going to tarnish at all. And the glass, of course, is going to easily break if you take it out of the ground. So it's not going to get ruined if you leave it in the ground. So as opposed to klei chesef v'chanei choshes, they have to take them out a little bit to use so they don't stay in the ground too long and get moldy and get ruined, get tarnished. But here, klei chesef v'chanei choshes, the golden and the glass kalim, those leave in the ground until Eliyahu comes, which means until you clarify who the owner is, and don't take them out. Matzah Kupa, we call Dover Shane Darkolito, Hares Eloito. If you find a sack or a basket or anything that typically you wouldn't pick up for yourself, it would be degrading for you to carry it through the street. The person is what we say, Zakei in Venu Filich Vodo. There's no obligation to perform the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda. This is derived from the Pasuk. It says if a person sees an animal, his friend's animal, and it's going astray, this alamta mayhem, and you hide your eyes from it. Hashav Tishvini, you have an obligation to return it. Why does the Torah use the word v'hisalamta in the positive? We have another pasuk, lo sucha l'hisalem, that's in the negative. V'hisalamta almost sounds like there are times where you have the right to look away, and indeed, that's why the Torah uses the word that way. Yes, in the context it means if you look away, that's a problem, you shouldn't do that. But what it's there to teach us is there are times where a person has the right to look away and not return an object, and that's an example of where Zakein Vein Lefi Chavodos. So there's a sack in the middle of the Rosh Hashanah, something you typically would not take because it would be embarrassing to schlep it around, so there's no obligation of you to return that. That's an elderly person, a chacham, and it's not dignified for him to do the mitzvah Shavas Aveda in that circumstance, he is going to be exempt. Another example, if you have a Kohen and there's an Aveda in the Beis HaKvaros, of course he has the right not to perform the mitzvah. Perek Beis, Mishnah Tes. Ezohi Aveda. So the Mishnah wants to know, you have an animal, how do I know that the animal is lost and therefore it's an Aveda and I need to return it as opposed to an animal that's just walking around and the owner will eventually find it? So it says the Mishnah like this. This is how you figure it out. Matza chamor o para roin baderech einzo Aveda. You find a donkey or a cow and they're grazing on the derech. So you'll say that's not really the place where they normally graze. An animal goes... and then maybe it went there by itself. Nonetheless, it's not considered lost. We assume the owner knows where it is, and therefore you're not obligated to return it if you see it. That's where they're rowing baderech. They're on the derech on the road, and they're rowing and they're grazing. Chamor v'kelev hafuchim, para ratza bena kravim harezu aveda. But if you have a chamor donkey and its utensils are flipped over, or you have a para and its ruts and it's running between the vineyards, that is considered an aveda. So take the first example. The Mishnah had said, well, what's not an aveda? You have a chamor or a para and they're grazing baderech. So they're just grazing, they're walking around. Let's say the animal's running. So then it may depend, then the Gemara says on Daflam Adav, it depends which way it's running. It's running towards the city, it's not considered an Aveda. Running out towards the fields, it is considered an Aveda. Yeah, and you would have to therefore return it. So that's why the Mishnah says they're rowing, they're grazing Baderech as opposed to running. But then we spoke about what is considered an Aveda. You have this saddle, let's say, of the animal, it's not in the right place, so of the chamor. So probably the owner doesn't know what's going on. The owner doesn't know about that. That's an Aveda after a turnout. Let's say, so now that's where the cow is running between the vineyard. But the Reisha spoke about where the cow is walking, is grazing baderech. So let's say you have a cow and it's grazing, but it's not running, but it's in the vineyard. So that's in a middle case. So that is not considered that it's lost. But if the kerem, the vineyards, belong to Jews, so you have to, the person who finds it has to return the cow. Why? Because we don't want it to damage the vineyards. Let's say a non-Jew owns the vineyards, and the person who finds it is afraid that maybe the owner of the field is going to kill the cow because it's damaging the property, so you have to return that as well. And the same thing would be true if, let's say, there's a fine that the government imposes on people who have animals that are damaging other people's properties, although it's not a officially considered an aveda, you would want to return it in such a circumstance. The animal, you returned it. Then he ran away again. And you returned it, ran away again, even four or five times. Doesn't matter, it can be more than four or five times, even 100 times. You still have to return it. You have an obligation to return. What's hashav is there to teach you that you have to do it many, many times. And hashav tishivim teaches us that a person the obligation to return a lost object can be done even if the owner doesn't know that it's being returned. So hashav is the obligation to return. Hashav means return it. And it means every time it's lost, you have to continue to return it. Hashav tishivim says you can return the lost article even, you can turn to a churva, one of the ruins of the owner. You can return to a gina, to a garden of his. As long as it's an area that's guarded properly, that's okay, even if he's unaware that it is lost. Then the Mishnah says, "Hayavatel misela." Person, because he is returning the lost object, so he's losing out on money. So lo yomar lo tain li sela. You can't tell the owner of the object, listen, you owe me a sela. I lost out on a sela worth of work because I was busy with your returning your lost article. So you owe me a sela. It doesn't work that way. Elonosin lo scharo kipoha batel. Rather, he does pay him, but he pays him like an idle worker. What does it mean? What salary would a person be willing to take for doing this light kind of work of returning lost object? If he would go to work, he'd be schlepping a lot at work. That's where he gets paid a lot of money. He's busy with the lost object. That's easy. How much would a person be willing to be paid for that light work? That's what the owner of the object has to pay this person as a poel batel. Im yesh sham beis din, though, let's say the person says, listen, I make a lot of money. This is not worth my returning this object for all the money that I'm going to lose out on. So I don't want to do that. If there's a beis din that's there, masten bifnei beis din, he can make a tanai in front of beis din and say, this is the deal. I'm going to charge this person for my work, and if not, then I don't. Then I'm not. I don't want to return the object at all. He has the right to make that tonight in front of Beis Din. And Shum Beis Din. Beis Din's not. If I can't gather three people at Beis Din, if maybe me ask them. So who can I make it tonight in front of? Shaloko them. Then you can take care of your work and not worry about the lost item.